back and taking your calls at 212-433-9692. Some people have been critical of the United States for not doing more to effect a ceasefire and end this conflict. The United States has refused to talk with Syria, with Iran, or with Hezbollah, and that has led any number of people, including former State Department officials, to say that it's hard to really come to any kind of agreement if you're not talking to people. What's your feeling about that, especially on today, which has been the bloodiest day in the fighting so far, with at least 8 Israeli soldiers killed? Hezbollah is claiming that it will hit further into Israel than Haifa now. It all suggests that Israel really miscalculated the strength of Hezbollah. There's the Israeli attack on the UN outpost, the observer outpost, where 4 UN observers were killed, leading Kofi Annan to say that it was a deliberate attack because the outpost had been there for a long time. Israeli officials say that that's not true. It was just a terrible mistake, and they will be investigating. So what are your feelings? Our number here is 212-433-9692. We just spoke to Anthony Shadid, the Washington Post correspondent, who was reporting on a very frightening situation there. And his sense is that while Hezbollah may be weakened, it really will not, if anything, this has radicalized some of the Lebanese to a point where the situation might actually be worse for Israel somewhere down the line. 212-433-9692. Abe from Brooklyn.
Yes.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah. My feeling is that it's outrageous that Kofi Annan shows his reflex bias against anything that Israel does. It's a known fact that Israel is very careful not to hurt civilians when they cannot help it, but the civilians are enmeshed within the forces. But the point is,
but that, Abe, there was no suggestion that there were any civilians in this UN observer outpost. There were just 4 UN observers who died, and yet I guess part of the problem is that there's a perception of something going on. Yesterday, Israel bombed a number of Red Cross ambulances that had Red Crosses on the top.
Just what I like to hear when you said these were observers. These were observed there for many years. What was they observing? They were observing Hezbollah bringing in thousands and thousands of missiles and preparing themselves to attack Israel. So what was the purpose of their observing? Ask me that. What was they observing when they made a report to UN or to Kofi Annan? What did they do about it?
So Abe, your point is that the UN and its observers have a certain bias here, and the bias is anti-Israeli.
I'd still like to know what were they observing.
Okay, thank you for calling us.
Thank you.
We go to now to Ari from Brooklyn. Hi, Ari.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm doing good, sir. I'm doing good. Listening to the broadcast and listening to a lot of things that's going on in the Middle East. Being an ex-Israeli soldier, having served in the military in the Golan Heights and parts of Lebanon right before we had the pullout in 2000, I could tell you for sure that we do not target civilians purposely. Most of the time we go through the utmost precaution to make sure that these things do not happen. We work very closely with the Mossad, with the Shin Bet, and we don't do it purposely. These things do happen during war. And, for the fact that you have terrorists that hide behind civilians that are not brave enough to come out and fight as they show their face on their propaganda videos is a whole other issue. And, and then to say on top of that by Kofi Annan that we're attacking the UN also on purpose is also completely, it is just completely false.
Well, thank you for your call.
Thank you very much.
And now we go to Imad from Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you? I just heard on the program on the radio, the same station, that there was a report from intelligence, American intelligence and Israeli intelligence, that they knew about something is going to happen from Hezbollah, a plan to kidnap some soldier. And they kind of let it go, so they have a reason to go and do whatever they did. And my question is, how long Israel is going to drag the American in a situation like that and start things that they cannot finish?
Well, what do you suggest be done? You're from Egypt?
Yes.
I'm assuming that different countries in the Middle East have different takes on this, or maybe it's just the leadership, because I know that Hezbollah was criticized by the Egyptian government, also the Saudi government, but not by the Syrian government or the Iranian government. What about the man on the street? Have you spoken to anyone back home?
Actually, I have an idea, because, I mean, Egypt standing from the whole problem is to have a complete peace in the area, and that's what we're trying to do. We are against violence, but whatever is happening, if the United States cannot finish the job that Israel started, now it's going to create something between Hezbollah, which they are Lebanese, they are not any other forces, and they never had anything, a terrorist act against anything but the occupation itself. We never heard about, actually Hezbollah was one of the groups that condemned September 11 right away when it happened. So they just want to live in peace exactly like Israel. So if there isn't a complete plan for peace, these things are going to happen often and often and often. And I think whatever Israel starts and they thought they can finish Hezbollah, the way we hear the news now, they are far, far away from doing this or accomplish that.
Well, Emad, I have to tell everyone that this is WNYC 93.9 AM 820. We're online at WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate, and I'm taking your calls at 212-433-9692. Before you go, many people see the Middle East, all of this conflict, as being separated to some degree by different groups. Egypt is a Sunni nation, mostly, majority Sunni. Hezbollah is Shiite, and it's aligned with Iran. Do you think that the conflict in the Middle East is blurring those lines that in the past have separated people so much?
Well, again, if we keep talking about exporting democracy to the Middle East, these things are going to happen, because once you ask for democracy and then you back up from it, because you asked for democracy in Palestine and created Hamas, you ask it for democracy in Lebanon, created Hezbollah, you're going to ask for democracy in Egypt, it's going to create the Muslim Brothers. So unless the democracy started from the need of the people gradually, because democracy is an experience more than something you can create from day and night. So this kind of this part of the world, they have their own culture, their own religion, and if democracy is not created from within, you cannot enforce it. And if you enforce it, you're going to have the Islamic groups and the extremists ruling the whole area.
Thank you for calling us. Our number is 212-433-9692. The United States has been giving aid to Lebanon, but missiles to Israel. Is that adding to the conflict, or is it necessary in both cases to help an ally and also to provide humanitarian aid? Lorenzo from Long Island, you're on the air.
Yes, my comment is regarding the bombing of the UN outpost by the IDF. I believe that it was deliberate, and I believe that it was a bad idea for Israel to do this, even if they suspect the outpost of serving the wrong purpose.
Well, I'm not exactly sure what Israel would gain for bombing a UN outpost. It can only hurt its image and only hurt it with the UN, and also prevent any foreign troops from wanting to come in there and act as a buffer.
Well, it depends from what point you look at it. Israel may be
What's happening? Are you suddenly being hit by a wind, a heavy gust of wind? Are you on a cell phone?
Yes.
We had a little problem there. Finish what you were saying.
Yes, I believe that at the Israelis at this point, the IDF might believe that at this juncture it can get away with this and do some cleaning up before foreign troops actually come into the area. No, I believe it's a bad idea. I actually support the IDF, but I believe some of us, some Jews have the wrong idea. We need to keep our nose clean, and we need to keep the high moral ground. And we had the high moral ground when this offensive began in response to attacks by Hezbollah. But I believe the hawkish side in Israel, they always get us into trouble. They go a little too far. And it would have been better to hold back and wait and keep hitting areas that we were absolutely sure of instead of doing this. And it wasn't just the UN outpost. We took out the Red Cross also. And for us to say that we are so inept that we cannot identify an 18-year-old outpost, I mean, that's terrible.
Well, thank you for calling us. We go now to, what did we say here? Phil from Queens. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Lenny, how are you?
I'm well.
It's nice to get some listener democracy on your show, too, as democracy spreads in all the captive nations.
We don't need editorials, Phil. What do you want to talk about?
Well, you know, you portray 95% bad news. Have you ever led a combat mission? Have you ever staged something and it didn't go exactly right? You know, Israel has information. Some of it's faulty.
Wait. But Phil, are you suggesting that I'm slanting the news here? Because I don't think I have been. I think I've been as objective. Okay.
Hello.
Phil, you want to write me an angry letter? Please write me an angry letter. But do you want to talk about the issue here, which is about what's going on right now in Lebanon? Then I'd be happy to talk to you.
Yes, Israel is doing something essential to its survival.
Okay, that's an important point for you to have made. Thank you so much for making it.
Thanks. Be well, Lenny.
You too. Now, Mahmoud from Manhattan. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. I'm calling. I have an issue that people talking that they're not hitting civilians. And I have my family are in southern Lebanon right now. They were just hit yesterday by a missile from an airstrike. And we don't have anybody around our neighborhood that belongs to anybody that's fighting Israel. You know, I don't know what those people are saying that people are hiding behind civilians. Also, talking about the UN post.
But wait, are you suggesting that Hezbollah doesn't have a strong presence in southern Lebanon?
They're not, like, I'm talking about my neighborhood where I grew up.
Where was that?
And it's a town called Nabatieh.
How far is it from Tyre? Because we were speaking to Anthony Shadid in Tyre earlier today.
I was listening to Anthony Shadid earlier. It's about like maybe, it's like the center of the south. It's about 20 miles north of the border.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the Israelis, they're using the most sophisticated weapons. They even show you how the missiles is going. Like, you know, they show you the targets. They can't tell whether those people are civilian or fighters, like they're fighting them, you know. And the UN posts in southern Lebanon, they are clearly identified as UN posts. You can see them from miles away. They are painted in white with the big UN letters on them. You know, I mean, it's all lies. All what the media is talking about is lies.
But people do drop bombs in accidentally. There are all. I can't imagine what Israel would think it could gain by attacking the UN. Why do you think Israel would have attacked the UN?
Actually, the UN are there to not to like watch what the Israelis are doing or what the Hezbollah are doing. They're there to see who starts fighting, who starts throwing at each other. Okay. It's not good for the Israelis that the UN sees what's going on in details, because that will bring things, it will backlash at them, and
but
it's not in their interest.
But Mahmoud, this thing did start when Hezbollah went into Israel. They kidnapped soldiers. They also have some pretty sophisticated weapons, obviously. They destroyed an Israeli ship with a surface-to-sea missile. They've been raining missiles on Haifa and now say that they're going to go deeper into Israel. This is a very, unfortunately, this is a very destructive war from both sides.
It is from both sides. I'm not defending anybody like when we're talking like that. I'm defending my family that they are stuck in there. I mean, it's a war. They could go after those people. Let them. I mean, we're talking about Israel. It's not a small army. It's one of the most sophisticated armies in the world. I mean, they could pinpoint whoever they want and get him.
Well, one more thing, Mahmoud. Have you been able
to tell me? You want to tell me, like, bombarding the airport, bombarding radio stations, TV stations, like, even the LBC, which is known, it's a Christian TV station, they bomb it. Why? Because they don't want the truth to go beyond Lebanon. They want the truth to be buried in Lebanon with the people that they are killing.
One more thing. Yes. Are you in touch with members of your family?
Yes.
Have you been able to speak to them by phone?
Yeah, I talked to them by phone. The phone service is still working, which is, I am grateful for that. But at any moment, anything could happen to my family.
Well, let's hope that it doesn't. I've run out of time. I thank you so much for calling us, and I thank you all for calling. This is a difficult situation. Obviously, people continue to disagree, take different sides depending on their own backgrounds, which is understandable as well. We will continue following this story, and we thank you so much for all your calls.